Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the home of free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels, keep free speech alive, and go to nationalbugle.com. That's where you can download the Co-Certified app, so click on that Co-Certified link. While you're not perusing the articles, there's a lot of good articles up there, but download the Co-Certified link. You're going to want it because it's happening. It's happening now. And I'm here with Professor Sloan, and we are in a very vibrant area, so there might be some background noise here and there. But, hey, do you remember that song, the boys watch the girls while the girls watch the boys who watch the girls go by?
No, you sing a few more bars.
My, oh my, it's what makes the world go round. It's from the 60s.
Okay, it sounds familiar.
Boys watch, girls watch, da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, the only difference is now they're all wearing masks. What's that all about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, allegedly it was once upon a time supposed to prevent the virus from spreading into new countries and new communities where it hadn't made its presence known yet. But now the virus already is everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Though in small percentages. And so I don't know.
Chicken Man. Do you know Chicken Man?
Is that a cartoon?
Chicken Man. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. It was a skit by some DJ back in the 1970s.
Okay.
Chicken Man. I think it was syndicated. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Just like the virus.
Yes, the virus is everywhere, but in small quantities, and it's not killing a lot of people. But when you focus on something, I think last time you and I had one of these chats, we were on the same sort of subject. When you focus on something, that's what people direct their attention to. And so everybody's thinking about coronavirus now, and everybody's thinking about masks, and you don't want to be the only one on your block not to be wearing one.
There's a lot of conformity involved, and some people are more conformist than others. And where my observations is when I see, like, Asian people walking around, they're, like, the Chinese people are all wearing the masks. The Indian people are wearing, like, bandanas around their faces.
What about these, like, sort of welding masks that people wear over the cloth masks, these like sort of glass plates in front of their face?
Yeah, those would be Vietnamese people.
Vietnamese people, okay.
I don't know. But, yeah, you're seeing a whole variety of face coverings. Well, because having a cloth or papery cloth mask right up against your face, it smells bad. It gets right up in your skin. And these plastic things, I guess, for the most part, don't really touch your face very much, maybe in a couple of places, but so you don't have like a wet mask on your lip the whole time. So that's a example of people adapting to this. Of course, really, I want people to be resisting, but you know, resisting can be difficult if you got a job and resisting is going to cost your job. So we're in a difficult situation. We really need some good leadership on this. I noticed something, and maybe I want to get your feedback on it. It seems to be that women are more into the masks than men. Maybe it's not across all cultures, but it seems that there's something about germ avoidance that appeals to women. You know, well, I mean, didn't your mom always tell you to wash your hands before dinner and all of this, right?
Yes, I mean, you know, unless it's the right guy, from a lady's point of view, most guys are dirty and, you know, they need to keep their distance and wash their hands and, you know, brush their teeth before they come to bed, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about or not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I was ever the right guy. But it seems to me that women tend to be more germophobic in general than men. Have you heard that kids who grow up with dogs are healthier?
No, but you're going to tell me why, and it's going to be something about herd immunity or something about developing a resistance to the germs we're surrounded with, I assume.
Exactly. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, because dogs are dirty, dirty dogs, and they're germs, and they're licking the dog, they're licking the kid, and, you know, dragging them outdoors and rolling around, and getting the kids' immune systems busy dealing with all of the germs. And so actually, you know, if you're... There's a place for hygiene. And you think of Florence Nightingale, for instance. A woman, but she saved massive lives. She was a really extremely important person by introducing hygiene and sanitation to hospital settings, where it really belongs. So I don't know. I just thought that, there was an example that I raised on the show, and I don't know if I told you about this, but a couple of months ago, I was walking my dogs. We're walking through the woods at night. It was like a park on a trail. And right beneath a stoplight, not stoplight, a street light, I looked down and there's something that was written on the pavement that hadn't been there like a day earlier. I'm looking down and it says, "Put on your effing mask."
Yep.
Yep. And I'm looking at it, and then there's this voice from the shadows that calls to me. It was a woman's voice, a young woman. And she says, "I didn't write that, but it's a good message." And then I did a, "Well, actually,"
right.
on her. And she got irate and screamed at me and said that she was a nurse and she had a medical license and I didn't, so I had no right to talk about this, and that I'm killing all of her colleagues. And she just started dropping F-bombs and walked away because I was going to kill her or something. So I don't know.
You can't blame nurses and you can't blame sort of midwits, if you will, people that don't sort of look at the evidence and evaluate it themselves, but are good citizens and do what society tells them, for thinking that wearing masks is the correct thing to do, because that's what the media is saying nonstop.
Mm-hmm. That is what the media is saying nonstop. And to have a society where everybody questions authority all the time.
You can't have a society like that.
You can't win
a war like that. You can't have soldiers like that. If every soldier on the battlefield questioned their orders from their general, you know, that army would be wiped out by the opposing nation.
Yeah, I mean, look what happens with all the black, the police genocide of black people. What's that all about? It's blacks just feeling like they don't have to obey any kind of authority. And if you had a society where everybody's always questioning authority all the time, then that's what you get.
So rather than start with, you know, fight the system, rebel against the mask as a battle cry, why don't we sort of challenge the listeners to think about what they think they know about masks and what they think they know about the coronavirus in general. If I had the coronavirus, Dr. Slattery, and I'm sitting here very close to you now talking to you, and you caught it, what would happen to you? What do people think the coronavirus actually is?
So I think if I caught it, I think I'm pretty healthy, so I would maybe not have any symptoms, or maybe have relatively mild symptoms, or at the worst, I would, as I've had to do a few times in the past, like have to spend a couple days in bed feeling very sick and sweating it out or whatever. I doubt it, but that's pretty much the worst case scenario that I would envision for myself as somebody who's healthy and has a strong immune system.
This is,
I'm not worried
if you were
about
to come
it.
Down with it. Just contacting a germ or just contacting a virus doesn't mean that you're going to come down
Nope.
with the illness the next day. People probably watch some of these television shows where they go into a allegedly clean hotel room and they scrape off what's on the sheet and they look at it under a microscope and you find E. coli and you find all the worst things there. We're exposed to baddies, to bad germs everywhere we go all the time. So one thing is we're not immediately going to come down with coronavirus just because somebody next to us has it and coughs. Even if they do spread some germs on you, it's not a death sentence, nor is it sentencing you to even get ill.
Mm-hmm.
You might just go home and drink some orange juice, go to bed, and wake up fine the next day, and never even know that
mm-hmm.
the person you were next to came down with it.
I mean, I have a friend whose husband got it. She didn't have any symptoms at all, but later tested positive for the antibodies, so presumably she had it too.
Right.
Have you heard about this church in South Korea where they're purposely spreading it?
I have not heard that, no.
Yeah, they did that early. I don't know a whole lot of details on it, but did you ever hear of measles parties?
I have heard of measles parties, and the idea of measles parties is that measles can be a dangerous thing to have when you're adult, and so mothers would like their children to get measles while they're young, because it's actually a good thing to talk about when we're talking about coronavirus, because coronavirus also discriminates in that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it when you're very young, you know, you walk away from it. You probably don't even get sick. You probably never know you have it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it when you're like 80 or 90, you know, it especially if you have other illnesses, if you're battling cancer, or if you've got, you know, heart disease, or if you're overweight, you know, it could cause you to become seriously ill. Anyways, is that not the idea with measles? Is let's let our children get the measles while they're young, because you only get it once in your life, and then you form the antibodies for it.
Right, and so my brother had it. I had it. I don't know if we had corona measles parties or whatever. Mine wasn't very bad. I think I also had measles immunization, but I'm not sure. I have to go back and check those records. But it was right around, you know, like, I guess, what, was it the late 50s or early 1960s when the measles vaccine came out? But until then, that's, yeah, the common practice. Have a measles party, let the kids get sick. It wasn't so bad. And, of course, that's what we could be doing with the corona thing. But,
well, people will remember that a lot of authorities flip-flopped on masks in the beginning simply because in America we didn't have enough masks in stock. And so the American public was told early on, you know, masks aren't going to help you that much, don't worry about them. And there was a reason. The reason was they didn't want their stock of surgical masks to be depleted and doctors who actually could benefit from them and need them not to have them. And then when America produced or otherwise procured large number of masks, the message changed. Everybody wear a mask. And the reason that message went out is the virus still had not sort of reached a critical mass, M-A-S-S, not M-A-S-K, if you will. The virus had not found its way into every state and every city and every community. And so there was still some hope that maybe it could be contained. Maybe China will have it and Italy will have it and Seattle and New York and parts of certain states will have it, but maybe it won't go into other states. But now it's everywhere. And I guess the point I was trying to make is the only real application for masks was to keep the number of people, to keep the spread from a population perspective down as much as possible, to keep it as slow as much as possible. But people are extrapolating and thinking, oh, for one person, if I wear a mask, it could influence whether I give coronavirus to somebody and they die tomorrow or not. I'm not sure if people are thinking that deeply or that critically, but as you just said, that, you know, the case of the woman that you met in the park who screamed at you for opposing the idea of everybody wearing a mask until infinity, some people have extrapolated what a mask means and think it's like life support, think it's like oxygen on your back when you're underwater. If you don't have a mask, you're going to die or you're going to kill people. And that's not quite it.
And you're going to kill people, yeah. You see, if it was just a matter of, like, you know, taking care of yourself, you'd be able to say, well, I don't feel like it. I'll take the risk. Right. But they've framed it so you're endangering others if you don't wear a mask. Now, okay, so a couple things. One is, do you think the mask really just represents, the authorities humping us in the face? I mean, is it like a domination thing, like when dogs hump each other?
Well, it's an interesting thing that I've heard people say, and I tend to agree with the fact that, yes, there's that aspect, but I certainly can't think it was a master plan. Let's humiliate everybody by
a mask. So, okay, that's the other thing, master plan or not. A lot of this is probably going on the fly. It doesn't have to be a master plan, but, But does it seem to be playing the role of, when you put on that mask, you're bending the knee to authority.
Yes.
And it, you know, once it's become clear that the masks are really not very effective, they may be a little bit effective or they may be not at all effective in terms of the spread, but then also is trying to contain the spread a good thing or a bad thing? That is very debatable.
Right.
Here's one other thing.
Well, I'll throw in a quick analogy here, and then you can go to your one other thing. It just becomes a quick way for authority figures, it's a quick thing for authority figures to focus on. The analogy I'll make is I thought of it recently because I had to actually fly internationally, and you know how before 9/11, if you had eye drops or some sort of liquid, you could just fly with it in your bag?
Mm-hmm.
And then after 9/11 happened, and after there were a few people caught on airplanes that allegedly had the materials that could make bombs, they started disallowing liquid. And then that went away after 6 months or a year, and they came out with this new rule that, yes, you can take a certain amount of liquid on a plane, but it absolutely positively has to be in this little bitty plastic bag, this little bitty Ziploc bag, or you can't have it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that Ziploc bag do? It's just sort of like the mask.
It's
arbitrary. It's just sort of like a token, you know, oh, well, I've got eye drops, but I jumped through your little hoop so I can keep my eye drops on the plane.
They're humping us, and they're not humping our legs either.
Yes, okay.
I'm not happy.
Anyway, maybe it wasn't worth pausing your upcoming brilliant
I don't have an upcoming brilliant point. But we have... There's a debate on RBN and elsewhere. There are those people who say that the virus actually doesn't exist, that the whole thing is made up. And they have their data, they have their reasons for saying such a thing. Most people think the virus is a real thing, that there is a virus, but... And some people think, well, it's just a flu. Some people think it's a little bit more serious.
And some people dress like they're going to be walking through plutonium when they...
Indeed. There was a guy who was a pro-nuclear guy who said he would drink a glass full of plutonium-laced water.
Right.
I don't think he actually ever did that. But anyway, wow, that is some pretty serious stuff. Somebody doesn't want to get the coronavirus.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm ashamed to say that I don't listen to RBN quite enough to be familiar with that debate. But I could be persuaded at least much of the way. I'm not sure if I could absolutely be persuaded that coronavirus doesn't exist and never existed. But certainly, as I was saying earlier, think about what you believe the coronavirus does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people will realize they don't have a firm picture in their mind of what coronavirus even really is. It's not like we see people dying right and left of very specific, consistent symptoms.
Right. Well, we're going to be right back after this break.
So you met someone who set you back on your heels. Goody, goody. So you met someone and now you know how it feels. So you gave him your heart too, just as I gave mine to you, and he broke it in little.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
We are back. So, like I said, we're in a public place, and we see a couple of gentlemen who are going to go into a facility. I guess they're going to be cleaning out something where there might be some corona contamination. They are wearing full-body condoms.
Right.
I don't know how else to describe it. They are covered head to toe with plastic, except the eyes. They're not wearing goggles, are they?
No, but he's wearing glasses, so maybe it's hard to wear goggles on top of the glasses.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so here's the thing. I think we got to fight back against something. And when you're fighting against something, you want to hit their weak point. And whether or not, like, let's just say that the virus actually doesn't exist, you know, you hear things like actually what they're testing for is some sequence of DNA on chromosome number 8 or something like that. You hear these things. And most of us are not in a position to independently verify these things. But the vast, vast majority of people assume that there is some sort of coronavirus. And so if your way of opposing what's going on is to say there's no coronavirus because of, you know, chromosome 8 or this or that, and you're saying things that people aren't going to be able to independently verify, hardly anybody can. You're just, I guess you're just counting on your own charisma or something. It doesn't seem like if you're scaling Mount Everest, you don't want to go straight up the cliff if there's a back trail somewhere, right?
Yep.
And so, to me, the easiest approach seems to be to say that the lockdowns will cause far more death and harm than anything the coronavirus could possibly ever do. And I think you can point to things that are much easier for people to confirm, like, you know, in an economic depression, we're going into an economic depression, that life expectancies contract. Yeah. And I always talk about in the 1990s, the male life expectancy in Russia contracted by over 7 years.
Yeah.
You can look at, even in the early 1980s, the Reagan, the recession during the early years of Reaganomics, American life expectancy contracted by a full year. And I've seen a chart of, over the past 50 years or something, Japanese unemployment rates and Japanese suicide rates, and they track so tightly. And these types of things, I think, people can understand and buy into and oppose the lockdown. And, you know, you don't have to get into a lot of biology.
Right. Well, the example of, like, there were two kids that were friends at a elementary school that both died in China. They were Chinese because their gym teacher insisted that they keep their masks on through the whole gym class. And it was a hot day, and they were a little overweight, and they were overexerting themselves. And they both passed out and died from lack of oxygen. And they were two young kids. And
so they didn't die from the virus. They died from the virus response.
Yes,
they died from the masks.
Meanwhile, I will grant you, it's hard to provide hard evidence for something that didn't happen, but I will grant you there are probably 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 80-year-old grandmothers who are in nursing homes and would have died quicker had they contacted coronavirus. Maybe they died maybe they died this month. Let's say that so far in September, a few old people have died in nursing homes from natural causes, and they would have gone quicker because coronavirus, for example, in northern Italy took out a lot of older people. That's what coronavirus tends to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a polling firm that came up with a measurement called lifetime hours, and maybe you're already aware of this survey. And when you compare lifetime hours lost from two young kids, you know, even if it's 10 old ladies and by everybody wearing a mask and them not getting coronavirus, they all added 6 months to their lives. Mm-hmm. Well, that's only 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you got two elementary school kids and they were both going to live into their 70s,
mm-hmm.
well, then you've lost 120 years between them.
Right, right. And that's a big deal. It's an important point. And another thing about the older people is that the older people, as long as, like, the old vulnerable people, the unhealthy people, they're vulnerable as long as the virus is in, you know, epidemic proportions, as long as it's reproducing and going around. If we developed herd immunity, if the healthy people just had their measles parties or, you know, like make-out parties or whatever they do, and they developed herd immunity faster rather than slower, the weak people, the old people, would be vulnerable for a shorter period of time.
Yep.
Okay, well, we are up at the next break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Back. So, herd immunity. I saw something on Tucker. There's a Dr. Scott Atlas, who I have played. I'm sure I've played clips of Scott Atlas on my show. He's a smart guy. I'm not sure what his medical degree, what his medical specialty is, but he's been outspoken against the lockdowns. Very outspoken against the lockdowns. I used to hear him on the John Batchelor show. And then, to my pleasant surprise, President Trump has appointed him to the task force. But I saw him on Tucker about a week ago or so, and apparently he's being accused of talking about herd immunity, which of course is what I'm always talking about. It's I think what we want. Saying that he's been accused of saying that. The virus should just be allowed to spread, and so that we develop herd immunity. And Tucker had him on, and I was actually really kind of disappointed by what I saw, because all Scott Atlas did is, instead of explaining why that would work, or maybe that he was misquoted, but this is what he really means, all he did was deny it. All he did is deny, nobody's talking about that, nobody's talking about that. And that was the end of the interview. But, you know, herd immunity seems to be working in some places, doesn't it?
Well, the model case for herd immunity had always been Sweden, because Sweden never had a lockdown. You could still go to restaurants, you could still, you know, go to a bar or go to a movie theater. You wouldn't have every other seat have an X in it. You wouldn't have to wear masks. And they did not, you know, they didn't become the next Wuhan or the next North Italy. But to hear the pro-corona panic media talk, Sweden did have much higher numbers than Norway and Finland, the other Scandinavian countries. Yes, relatively speaking, that was true. Is partly because, on the whole, Sweden has more population clusters, more more areas of denser population than Norway and Finland. But now we're coming out of the summer, and we're coming into what people are talking about is going to be a second wave, and we see Norway and Finland getting the beginnings of a second wave, and we see Sweden not getting it. And if you believe that herd immunity exists, the reason would be because everybody now has the antibodies, because everybody is now protected against coronavirus. Everybody who is going to get it
has gotten it.
Got it in the spring, and now the herd collectively has you know, good bacteria that can fight against it, that that can beat coronavirus.
Antibodies. Yeah, so it's whooping. So I mean, that's an example a lot of people talk about. The other example, of course, is Belarus, which you had President Lukashenko, who is my new hero. And Andrew Anglin said he, by the time he's 50, he will grow out a Lukashenko comb over. And have you ever seen those samurai movies where, like, the samurais were shaved the top of their head? Like,
I'm aware that they shaved the top of their head.
What was that all about? Was that so that the people with male pattern baldness wouldn't feel bad?
I don't know, but there used to be sort of more of a dignity and more respect paid to signs of aging.
Uh-huh.
Think about the white powdered wigs that, you know, that Europeans in you know, the Renaissance era used to wear. They wore wigs that emulated, you know, how older personages' hair looked.
So, in the spirit of Andrew Anglin growing out a comb over, I think that we should all show solidarity with Lukashenko. Now, if you already got long hair and all you have to do is, like, shave the top of your head and then get a comb over, yeah, you could do that, you know, right away if you've got shorter hair.
Andrew Anglin has a ways to go, doesn't he?
He's got a ways to go because he shaves his head. But so it'll take a while. So if you have the short hair, it might take a while, but I think that's something for us all to strive for. Anyway, the Belarus, you've got, President Lukashenko just said drink vodka, ride tractors, work, it's good for you. Play ice hockey, go out there on the ice, it'll spur your immune system. And whatever you have in Belarus, you know, people might say, oh, you can't trust their numbers. Well, like, you can really trust our numbers also. I don't know if you can trust the numbers anywhere, but what you know you don't have is just dead bodies piling all over the place.
Yes, I think America's numbers are some of the least trustworthy in the world, because hospitals have built-in incentives to put coronavirus on death certificates, and they did have built-in incentives at one point to put people on respirators. You just get somebody on a respirator for a day, and it was something like $37,000.
And respirators are horrible, and most people never come off. If you've ever seen somebody on a respirator, that's like, that's end of life, basically.
Well, if they had some sort of malfunction with their lungs, and their lungs weren't working, but their lungs could be healed, respirators could be a way to save lives. But we didn't know what this coronavirus was in the beginning. What it seems to be is it seems to affect the way that the lungs get their signals from the brain. But can I say this without, you know, this whole podcast being wiped out because it's against the popular narrative of what coronavirus is?
You can say anything you want. This is RBN. We are the home of free speech.
What it now seems to be is that the people that were wiped out in the spring from coronavirus affected the brain's ability to signal the lungs to breathe properly and for them to get oxygen properly. But these were people with healthy lungs, and their lungs were destroyed, as you say, by being put on respirators. It was a misunderstanding of coronavirus, and the sad thing is that misunderstanding was never corrected because coronavirus became politicized in the United States. Okay. I mean, there are doctors that have come out and said as much, and they'll do a YouTube video, and then YouTube will scrub their videos away.
Okay, so coronavirus has been used as... to whatever extent it's real and this and that, but it certainly has been used to get the population off balance, right? And then while we're all off balance, while so many people are out of work, then they unleash these black riots.
Yes, we talked about this on your last show. I mean... It's all circumstantial. All you can do is point at what a huge coincidence it is that after a couple months of everybody wearing the masks and being told, you know, people are going to start dropping dead right and left, and then the public observing, hey, people aren't dropping dead right and left. Hey, the coronavirus isn't as bad as they said. Hey, I don't have to wear the mask. Just when people started to sort of push back, and just as there were like one or two protests beginning to take hold, these Black Lives Matter protests came out of nowhere, and they just completely outshone the I don't have to wear a mask protests. And if your only issue is that you don't want to wear a mask, and there are a bunch of Black Lives Matter protesters out on the street who are going to smash open windows and carry weapons, and you know, people are going to be either arrested or brought to bodily harm, I think you'll keep your protests at home. You'll keep your protests on Facebook.
Did you hear about what happened in Rochester?
Oh, the naked guy.
The naked guy, right?
Yeah, that just happened just 6 months ago, right?
It happened 6 months ago. Now, it wasn't reported. Apparently, the body camera video was only just released, and it was released because the family and the family's lawyers had managed to get a Freedom of Information Act or something. A lot of people are saying, isn't it interesting how they drag that out now? And of course, right before the George Floyd thing started, they had been dragging out something from several months earlier that had happened in Georgia with the jogger.
Sorry, I'm such a non-racist that I don't even recall. Can you remind me if the Rochester naked guy was black?
He was black.
I see, okay.
Yeah, and he was on PCP, and he was mentally ill. He's on a lot of PCP.
Okay, so this is why now he's the latest victim of an evil cop plot to just randomly kill black people.
Right, and he had run out in the middle of the night, I guess in, like, his underwear, and then took off his underwear, and it was late winter, and there's snow on the ground, and so they caught him, and he was completely naked. They caught him. And he might have been initially a little bit cooperative, but then he started, resisting and spitting, saying he had coronavirus. And this was when... And then, Wale was... You know, at the beginning of the coronavirus, everybody's freaked out about, you know, if they got coronavirus, they're thinking they'd die. So they put this, what they call a spit hood on him, and he suffocated. But while he was, did he suffocate, or did he just stop breathing from a PCP overdose? I mean, there's different ways of looking at it.
Did he really have the coronavirus?
Because
coronavirus affects your respiratory system.
It does. Well, okay, so here's the thing. While he was wrestling with these people and saying, give me your gun, I need it, give me your gun. Then he said something about, like, look at my ding-dong. And they laughed. And the AP News article that I read, they were saying they put the spit hood at him and laughed at him. Which isn't exactly how it happened. I'm bringing that up, and I'm going to bring up one other thing. Joe Biden went to, did he go to Rochester, or he went somewhere? Or to...
Joe Biden spoke in Pittsburgh.
He went to Kenosha, maybe it was, and he's speaking somewhere, and he made a joke about, well, if I tell you the rest of my tax plan, I might get killed.
Okay.
And people said that was like a bad joke. Right. Well, here's the thing. Have we reached the point where humor is going to have to be, like attempts at humor are going to have to be curtailed?
We reached that a while ago, I think. You remember that Joe Biden suggested that people were going to get killed when he was in Pittsburgh, too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you really think that if the Republicans are elected, that this violence is going to stop?
He said that. Was that a threat or was that humor? Because I only heard it in, I only saw it in written,
well,
in text. I didn't hear it.
I saw the clip on the Tucker Carlson show, and Tucker Carlson's take was, it's a veiled threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of do take that away. If you hear that, you think, he's got a good point. Maybe I should play it safe and vote for Biden instead of Trump, because I want my neighborhood safer, not more dangerous. But yeah, the implication is we're just going to pick up the violence if Trump gets reelected.
Well, you know, I want my hot dogs hot and not cold.
Right.
Yeah. So humor. Okay. So and I mean we're really getting to very very basic things. So
right. Should we step over here?
Breathing itself is becoming more difficult because
right.
of the masks.
Right.
Right. Breathing itself is becoming more difficult. Humor is becoming increasingly difficult to use. You're not supposed to, because you have to be so hypersensitive about everybody
right.
and everything.
Right.
I saw also in Chicago they're having this big conference on racism as a public health crisis. And it's not just police dying or police killing blacks. It's the differential outcomes. You know, blacks don't live as long. Blacks have this, have that. But of course, how much of that is because of black behavior as opposed to the systemic racism in the healthcare system?
And also, a point that nobody makes is how much of that is just because of a natural difference in the races. And black people are living in a society, for better or for worse, that they did not evolve into. They're living in a society that has been created by a people whose bodies have evolved differently. Their society has been created to suit their own needs, not necessarily the needs of the black people.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important point. You know, blacks have twins twice as often as Orientals. You know, there are certain differences. You know, pygmies, African pygmies, and the Southeast Asian pygmies, which are called Negritos, they're little hunter-gatherer people, and they have life expectancies. They hardly ever live past 50, and it doesn't matter if they have access to health care or not. It's just they come into sexual maturity at a lot earlier. They're having babies at 12, and then they get old and die of old age in their 40s.
And also, pygmies are very short because of systemic racism.
Is it systemic racism?
Isn't that the reason?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are winding up here. I want to thank you for joining me again.
Sure, glad to do it.
And I'll be right back on the other side. 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해 근육보다 사상이 울퉁불퉁한 선어해 그런 선어해 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 그래 바로 너 아름다워 사랑스러워 그래 너 그래 바로 너 지금부터 내 때까지 가볼까 오빤 강남스타일 강남
Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Op on Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Op, 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 op. Op on Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Order Robert E. Lee.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I just want to clarify something. This show, up until now, had been recorded earlier this month in a public place with Professor Sloan, and I had a little bit of issues with time management. That's why you heard all of that Gangnam Style before the break. On this side, this is Saturday, the 19th of September, and I do want to take this moment to memorialize somebody, to pay tribute to someone who died yesterday. And I'm not talking about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm talking about Stephen F. Cohen, who passed away yesterday,
same day as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Probably didn't get into the news, not much, but I just want to pay tribute to him. To me, he was one of my academic heroes. He and Kevin MacDonald were right at the top of my list in terms of academic heroes. I thought that Stephen F. Cohen was just a great historian. And I know people will say, well, Cohen sounds like a Jewish name. Of course, it is a Jewish name. And not only is it a Jewish name, it is the Jewish name. And I do remember him once appearing at a debate with, what's her name, Julia Yoffe, she writes for, the Washington Post, maybe it's the New York Times, one or the other. She was born in Russia, Jewish, and they had a debate, and at one point, he invoked his, what did he call it, his priority as a Cohen in tribal affairs, which was funny. He was at, I think it was even a Jewish conference, and everybody around was Jewish, and so he invoked his priority as a Cohen. But he's somebody, I don't know how strong his Jewish identity was. It was somewhere between 0 and 100. I'm not exactly sure. He grew up in Kentucky, and there weren't, I think he was the only Jew in his town, or the only Jewish family in his town. He had a funny story once about when it was time for his bar mitzvah. Well, there was no rabbi in the neighborhood, so a rabbi had to come from Cincinnati for the bar mitzvah. His parents told him that the rabbi had to come down the Ohio River on a raft, and so Stephen better show up at the bar mitzvah. I never met Professor Cohen, but I did have a couple of conversations with him over the phone, and long, good conversations, and we were in very occasional email contact. The first conversation I had with him was about 30 years ago, and I wanted to study with him at Princeton. I did not get accepted to Princeton. I did get accepted to Columbia, which isn't that far away. And he had nothing to do with my not getting accepted to Princeton. I called up the office, and they gave me his home phone number. So I had his home phone number, called him up, and had a talk. And he said, "Oh, you'll just take the train. Just take the train, and you can come and audit my classes. I'd be happy to have you." Well, as it turned out, I wasn't able to take him up on that kind offer. The second time I talked to him was in, I believe, March or April of 2016, and I was substituting for Farron Schoeff's show, The Alternative Media, and he was the first person I wanted to interview, so I got out my old phone book, called that same number, and he answered, and we talked, and reminisced about mutual acquaintances and whatnot. I let him know. I said, I'm a associate with Dr. Duke. I'm a co-host on his show. And he said to me, "What you do in your spare time is your business." I asked him if he would like to come on the show. He said he wasn't doing media appearances because he was writing a book, but he would think about it. And you know something? I think that's really the attitude that we should have. I don't know. All I know is his work was good work. I don't know what he thought about a lot of other things. I know he was married to the editor-in-chief of The Nation magazine, and I know he had arguments with her, political arguments. I know that he was very supportive of Donald Trump's foreign policy instincts. I think he did good work. I don't know how he felt about a lot of other things, but I think, you know, what he did in his spare time was his business. Well, with that, I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.